Good. Well, we're going to get our Bibles open. So whether you want a paper Bible or you use an electronic device, we're turning this morning to a very short letter in the New Testament called Philemon. If you'd like a Bible, please put a hand up and one of our team will happily bring you one. It's a one-page wonder. Okay, it's a short letter, but it packs a big punch. Philemon, page 1200 in the church Bibles. Just wait for everyone to turn there. Still rustling pages, that's a good thing. Philemon, this is what it reads. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier. And to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although I could in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is God's word to us today. Let's pray and ask for his help, and then let's have a look at this letter together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for this short but deeply meaningful letter of Philemon. Father, please, as we open it before us today, would you open it to us? Would you teach us? Would you engage our hearts? Would you change us, please, from what we hear today? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm really excited because we are going to spend the next seven Sunday mornings looking at this letter of Philemon. It's a short letter. It's a pretty unique letter. Some of you may be sitting there thinking, 7 weeks in this? There's only one page of the Bible. How on earth are we going to spend seven Sundays looking at such a short letter? But I want to say to you that even though it's a brief letter, even though perhaps it's a little bit different to some of the other stuff we've got in the New Testament, it's going to have a huge impact, or I hope it will have a huge impact on us as a church family as we spend seven Sundays with a few breaks here and there looking at it together. But before we can start learning from this letter, one of the first things we have to do is we just have to understand what it is. What is this letter? What's it about? What's going on? And in order to learn from it, we need to, I guess, get introduced to the main characters who we find in this letter. It's a very personal letter. That makes it a bit different to some of the other letters. It's a very personal letter, and it's a personal letter from a man named Paul. Look at verse 1 with me. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. Primarily from Paul. Timothy's there with him. But it's a personal letter from Paul. Now, many of us will know Paul. He won't need an introduction to us. This is the Apostle Paul, the one that the Lord Jesus kind of broke into his world on a road to Damascus. He came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in the most dramatic of way. It's that Paul. Paul, who'd spent his life preaching the gospel to anyone who would listen. He traveled far and wide. But now he finds himself in prison. You see that verse 1? Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And a little bit later in verse 13, he puts it that he's in chains for the gospel. And from his captivity, from his chains, probably quite literally, he pens a very personal letter to a man named Philemon. That's the second character that we need to get introduced to this morning. Now, Philemon, if you look at verse 1, we see it there, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Now, we don't know loads about Philemon. We know a little bit. We can piece some things together from this letter. But it appears that Philemon was someone who had come to faith in the Lord Jesus through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. So Philemon, perhaps he'd been traveling on business. Some people think it may have happened in Ephesus. He encounters the Apostle Paul. He hears the good news of Jesus from Paul, and he believes it. Paul puts it in verse 19. We'll come on and look at this in another week. But I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. The hint there is that I preached the gospel to you. I told you about Jesus, and you believed it. And Paul considers this man Philemon, the second character in this book, a dear friend. You see that in verse 1? A dear friend. Literally, the Greek is beloved, a loved one. And then he calls him a fellow worker. Philemon has become someone who is working alongside Paul in this great mission of making Jesus known to the world. And here we kind of piece together that Philemon was probably a pretty well-to-do kind of guy. He has a house, he has a household, which would have made him fairly wealthy in his time. And he has a church. If you look at verse 2, he has a church that meets in his house. Now, trying to squeeze all of us lot into a house would be a bit of a squash, wouldn't it? But here is Philemon, and he has a church that meets in his home. It is probably, if you're into this kind of thing, it is probably the church of the Colossian Christians. The letter to Colossians that we have in the Bible is probably that church that meets in his home. And Paul the Apostle, is writing to this man Philemon with a very particular request. It's a very personal letter, a very personal request, and we see that request in verse 17. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him, now the him there, we'll think about that in a second, welcome him as you would welcome me. Paul is asking Philemon to welcome home a runaway slave called Onesimus. Now, Onesimus is the third character that we need to meet. You still with me? So we've got Paul, he writes the letter, he's writing to Philemon, but Onesimus is this third character that we need to be introduced to in the story. Onesimus, again, we don't know loads about this guy Onesimus. But what we can kind of piece together from the letter is it seems that he has wronged Philemon in some way. He has treated Philemon badly. He's run away. And in that kind of society is a very serious offense. And whilst on the run, Onesimus encounters Jesus. Whilst on the run, this is the great thing about this letter. All three of the men, Paul, Philemon, Onesimus, they've all encountered Jesus. Jesus has kind of broken into their lives in some way, revealed the truth of the gospel. And here we have this man, Onesimus. Now, while he was on the run, he met Paul. It's a bad thing to meet Paul, isn't it? Well, probably a good thing to meet Paul, sorry. But if you meet Paul, you're going to get told the gospel. And Onesimus gets told the gospel, and he believes. And Onesimus's life gets turned around. And Onesimus is now being sent back to Philemon by Paul, probably carrying this letter that we have in our hands. And Paul is saying to Philemon, welcome him, forgive him, have him back into your household, show love to him, welcome him back, not as a slave, but welcome him back as a brother. And at its heart, this letter that we're going to spend the next 7 Sundays looking at, that's what it's all about. It is Paul writing to Philemon saying, welcome Onesimus home. That is what this letter is. That is what we've got on our laps this morning. But why? Why should Philemon do it? Why should Philemon welcome Onesimus home? Why should he forgive him? Why shouldn't he just throw the law at him? Why shouldn't he just kind of exercise all his rights and say, well, you've wronged me, so you can push off? Why should he do it? Now, friends, this is where the letter starts to challenge us, okay? This is where the letter is going to get into us and get under our skin. Because he asks him, look at verse 9, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. So pick it up in verse 8. You see, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. Why should Philemon welcome this runaway slave home? Why should he welcome him back into his household? Well, Paul says, because of love. On the basis of love. Or depending on which English translation you've got in front of you, for the sake of love. On the basis of love. Now, what love? What are you talking about? What love would mean that Philemon should welcome this man home? Well, it is the love that Philemon has been shown by the Lord Jesus Christ. All three of the main characters in this letter have encountered and experienced the love of Jesus. Paul has experienced the love of Jesus in bringing him to repentance and faith. Philemon has experienced the love of Jesus. And now Onesimus has experienced it. And Paul is saying to Philemon, I want you to show Onesimus the very same love that the Lord Jesus has shown to you. I'm asking you to do this radical thing, Philemon, because of love, on the basis of love. As Jesus famously says to his disciples in John's gospel, he says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And what we're looking at in this letter is a call to what I want to call this series, I've got to work out which one of these it is, to love-shaped living, or love-driven living. That is what we're being pushed to, urged to in this letter. That is what we're seeing here, love-shaped living. In other words, the way that we live should be shaped by the way that we've been loved. Can I say that again? The way that we live should be shaped by the way that we have been loved. I don't know what you think of when you hear the word love. Maybe some of you think romance. Maybe some of you think boxes of chocolates and flowers. Maybe some of you think of the people that are closest to you, your family, your friends. Maybe some of you think marriage. That's love. But the love that Paul speaks of in verse 9, the love that Paul appeals to, the love that he says because of, it is a different kind of love. It operates on different principles. It's love that looked at a world that had turned its back on God, that had run away from God, that had wronged God. It's love that looks at that world and says, but you know what? I love you, and I'm going to send Jesus into this world to put things right, to pay the costs that you owe. I'm going to send Jesus into this world so that I might welcome you back and love you and have you in my household. It's love, if you're with this. It's love that paid what we owed. It's love that has charged it to Jesus' account. It's love that took the initiative, though there was nothing in us that would attract God to us. Do you understand that? See, love operates, doesn't it? We love because something draws our affection. You know, we love the biggest piece of cake on a plate because it's the biggest piece. You know, we love somebody because we're attracted to them. But God doesn't love like that. He doesn't look at Enfield Town Community Church and go, oh, they're so cute and cuddly. Look at them all. Just can't resist them. I've got to love them. No, there is nothing in us that would draw God to us because we are like runaway slaves. Who wronged God and cheated him. We owe him. And this is the love. This is the love that Paul appeals to. The love that we have been shown. Jesus puts it like this in John's gospel. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. That is the love that Philemon has come to know. And that is the love that Philemon is being urged to show. And unlike other letters in the New Testament, this is what makes this letter quite unique, okay? Because if this is your first read of Philemon, you'll probably think, well, it doesn't feel like other letters in the New Testament. Because this love is not detailed, is it? There's no explanation of the gospel in this letter. There's no explanation of the cross. There's no kind of speak of the incarnation. And yet this love, this Jesus who loved us, underpins the whole letter. He's unmistakably kind of talked about all the way through, isn't he? Over 11 times in this short letter, Jesus is mentioned. Welcome him, Philemon, on the basis of love. Welcome him because of love. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And friends, what we have in our hands in this letter of Philemon actually is a personal letter from one man to another man, urging him to work out what it looks like to live out loving others as we've been loved. We're kind of allowed a window, as it were, onto a very personal thing. The gospel of Jesus, you know, many of us come to church every week and we sing pretty much unfailingly every Sunday about the love of God for us. But the love of God is not meant to stay something for a Sunday. The love of God, the gospel of God's love, has this incredibly irritating way of working its way into every detail of the rest of your life. The relationships that you have, the people that are around you, the homes that you live in, the workplaces where you work. The gospel of God's love is not just for a Sunday. It's meant to penetrate into every area of your life, every relationship, every place you go. And it's this letter is engaging us with this whole idea that the gospel of God's love, the gospel of Jesus' love, is meant to have a deep effect on our personal affairs. And friends, this is the letter that we're going to spend the next 7 weeks looking at together. Are you still with me? It's a letter from Paul and he's saying, welcome Onesimus home. Have him back with open arms. Forgive him, all on the basis of love. Now, here's the question we've got to ask this morning. Well, that's all well and good, Nathan, but what's that got to do with us? This is a deeply personal, it's a bit rude, isn't it? You know, have you ever picked up somebody else's mail by mistake and started reading it and you think, oh, I'm reading somebody else's letter. This is awful. I feel intruding on someone's personal affairs. What's this got to do with us? I mean, this is a personal letter from Paul to Philemon and it's all about Onesimus and we don't even know who Onesimus is. So what's it got to do with me? Well, I want to show you that this letter was always intended for the church. It was always intended for us. So you have a look with me at verse 3. We're going to do a bit of kind of Bible handling now, okay? So have a look at this. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you've got a Bible in front of you, you'll notice that by the word you, there is a tiny little letter that says A. Now, if you look at that, that refers to something down the very bottom of your page. And on the bottom of the page there, it says the Greek is plural. Also in verse 22 and 25, everywhere in this letter, you is singular. Now, okay, now here's the point I'm going to make, all right? In our language, we have one word for you. So I could be saying to, you know, Ollie, you are a very handsome young man. See, I'm speaking to him personally. But I could say, you are very handsome people. And I'm referring to all of you. Do you see the difference? And they have different words. Now, here's the point. The plural is used at the beginning and end of this letter. Now, why? Because the church that is in Philemon's house is being greeted. They are meant to read this letter. They are listening in to this letter. It's intended to be read by everyone and listened to by everyone, even though it's a very personal request. And it's here. This letter is here to get us thinking and to get us engaging with the impact that the love of Jesus should have on living in our relationships and in our everyday life. See, they would be listening on and thinking, oh, hang on a second. If that's, I mean, just imagine, can you imagine the atmosphere? Okay, so here they are, may have been a Sunday. The church is gathered in Philemon's house. There's a knock at the door and Onesimus is standing there with a letter. I'd imagine, yeah, everyone would have known about Onesimus in that church because he was part of Philemon's household. You probably could have cut the atmosphere with a knife as Onesimus is standing there with a letter in his hand, quaking, holding it out to Philemon. And the church is listening on and they're looking on and they're saying, well, if that's what Philemon is meant to do because of love, what might it mean for me? Where will this love drive me? See, this love is meant to get us thinking about what it might look like for us. And so here, very briefly, as we wrap it up this morning, I want to just quickly give you three things that this letter will do for you. This letter will do for us as we go through it this term. And here it is. The first thing is that it will put before us the love of Jesus. This letter will put before us the love of Jesus. Many of you will have heard of the famous graffiti artist, Banksy. Anyone heard of Banksy? Yeah, a few of you have. Okay, that's good. So this is going to make some sense. So the thing about Banksy, if you know his work, is that it just pops up at different places. Suddenly it just appears. So you'll wake up one morning and there's a piece of his artwork on a wall. Or there's a piece of his artwork in a shop somewhere or in an art gallery. And his artwork is brilliant. If you may not be into that kind of thing, but it's absolutely fantastic. And it is a real display of his skill and his ability. And everyone talks about his artwork. As soon as it comes up, it's Banksy this, Banksy that. Have you seen this latest piece of his work? Isn't it amazing? And everyone talks about it, and social media goes crazy. His artwork, you see. But Banksy, you don't. Banksy's a mystery. No one knows who he is. His artwork you see, but him you don't. And I want to suggest to you this morning that this letter is a little bit like that. This letter is full of Jesus' artwork. This letter is full of his handiwork. It's full of lives that have been changed by this love that he has for people that have quite frankly run away from him. You meet Paul. He's a bit of God's artwork. Wow, Paul. Paul, who wants to be a prisoner for Christ Jesus. You meet Philemon. You meet Apphia. You meet Archippus. You meet Mark. You meet Aristarchus and Demas and Luke. You meet all these people and they are artwork of Jesus. They are results of his love. Everywhere you look, this letter, you see what Jesus has accomplished, what his love has done. Artwork that displays his great love, love that takes sinners and forgives them, love that takes runaway slaves and changes their lives, love that takes people who have wronged God and welcomes them home. But Jesus, you don't see. Now, what do I mean by that? Some of you are thinking, what? What do you mean? Well, what I mean by that is, again, coming back to this idea, if you look in this letter, you don't get any explanation of this love. There's no explanation of the cross, which is at the very center of this love. There's no explanation of Jesus coming into this world, dying on a cross, rising from the dead, and then returning one day as judge. You don't get that message of love. What are we left with, though, is all the evidence of his love. We see the impact of his love. We do see the outcomes of what his love does. And friends, I want to say to you, if you will let it, if you'll let this letter do its work on us this term, then actually you will gloriously see the love of Jesus. It will hang before us like a portrait, the love that Jesus has for people like Paul and Philemon and Onesimus and people like us. I mean, maybe you come to church and you think, well, I don't really get the love of Jesus. I don't quite get it. What is it? Well, then this letter will show you. This letter will show you what the love of Jesus does for people. The gospel of God's love. So there's the first thing this letter will do for us if we let it. It will put before us in all its beauty, in all its splendor, the love of Jesus. The second thing, though, that it will do is that it will push us to love like Jesus. It will push us to love like Jesus. Now, I have to confess, I'm not a big fan of the singer Meatloaf. Anyone remember Meatloaf? Yeah. Meatloaf had a famous song that he sang where he said, I would do anything for love. Yeah, see, you are Meatloaf fans as well, you see, secretly. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. It's a really interesting song if you listen to it, because he's saying, look, I would do anything. I'd go all over the place for love. I'd do absolutely anything, but I won't do that. His love had limits. And that's what he's singing about. I'd do anything for love, but I would not do that. There are certain places that he would not let love take him. But the question that sits before us in this letter is, what about Philemon? Here is a man who already loves. You see, that's what you've got to notice about Philemon. Look at verse 5. Paul is saying, I thank God for you because I hear about the love, your love for all his holy people. Here is a man who deeply loves. He's already expressing the love that Jesus has shown to him, to those around him. And again, you'll see it in verse 7, your love has given me great joy. So Philemon is clearly a man. If you met him, you'd say, well, he's a pretty loving guy. But how far will he allow the love of Jesus to push him? How far will he go because Jesus has loved him? Will he let it push him? Drive him as far as welcoming home a runaway slave who has wronged him in some way? Or is he going to be a bit of a Meatloaf and say, Paul, I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. I won't welcome back Onesimus. Do you know what he did to me? Do you know what it looks like in my household? Do you know the shame that he's brought upon me? I'd do anything for love, but I won't do that. You see, friends, this letter is going to push us. It will push us to love like the Lord Jesus. It will push us to the boundaries of our love and beyond. It's love that has pushed Paul so far that he is willing to be a prisoner for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you let the love of God push you that far? Would you be willing to end up in a jail in the UK because of Jesus? It's love that has driven Onesimus to return home. Okay, so picture Onesimus. Here he is. He's sitting with the Apostle Paul. And Paul says, do you know what, Onesimus? The right thing to do because Jesus has loved you is to go home. And Onesimus is thinking, you are joking, right? You know, if I go home, I could die. I could die if he doesn't welcome me back, because that's what happened to slaves in that culture, sadly. I could die, and yet love pushes him out of his boundaries. And he says, well, because Jesus has loved me, I want to put this relationship right. And he gets up and he goes, even though it could have cost him his life. It pushed him. The love of Jesus pushed and pushed and pushes us beyond our boundaries that we might learn to love like him. And my question for us as a church family is, as we read this letter and we look at what Philemon's being asked to do, how far will the love of Jesus take you? How far will you let the love that Jesus has shown you push you to new limits, to new boundaries? My guess is that none of us in this room, or at least I hope not, will ever be called to welcome home a runaway slave. I hope you don't have slaves at home. But we might be called to welcome somebody back who's wronged us. We might be called to welcome into the church family somebody who in the past has been hard towards us. We might be called to overcome pain, or to overcome anger, or to overcome hatred. We might be called to do difficult things on the basis of love, the love that we have been shown. And as we listen in to Philemon, and we're listening to what he is being asked to do, actually we can expect this love to push us to love more and more like the Lord Jesus, to push us to love like he has loved us. You ready for that challenge? None of you are, that's fine. I'm ready for that challenge. Where might this love take us? Let it push us. And here's the third thing that it does. As it puts the love of Jesus before us, as it pushes us to love more and more like Jesus, I want to show you that this letter is going to plunge us deeper into the love of Jesus. This year, an explorer named Victor Vescovo completed his challenge. He had this challenge to dive to the deepest point of the Earth's five oceans. And this year he completed it. He got to the very bottom of the deepest oceans. And for years and years leading up to this point, people have been trying to plumb the depths of our seas, of our oceans. People have been experimenting for years to how deep can we go, how far can we get to the bottom of the sea. And friends, when it comes to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to the depth of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have got a long way to go. Please never rock up to church and think, we know how much Jesus loves us, because we don't. And we have got a long, long way to go. And unlike Victor Vescovo, who found the floor of the oceans, friends, we will never find the floor of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as this letter pushes us to love like Jesus, to love in new ways, to love like we have never loved before, this letter promises to then plunge us deeper into our understanding of how Jesus loves us. Now, this is really key, okay? So if you've tuned out and it's pushing you, just please tune in for this, because this is absolutely crucial. And this is a huge thing if you can get your head around this. Okay, look at verse 6 with me. Paul says, I pray that your partnership, Philemon, with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. In this letter, we will discover that the more that we love like Jesus, the more that we put into practice the type of love he has shown us, the deeper we will understand Jesus' love for us. As Philemon pushes himself, as he engages in partnership in the faith, and he pushes himself to welcome home this runaway slave, it's going to take him deeper and deeper into understanding the love that Jesus has for him. As he looks at welcoming back someone who's wronged him, And he thinks, well, hey, as I've welcomed him home and experienced all the joys and struggles of that, then actually I begin to understand something about the way Jesus has treated me. And friends, as we forgive like Jesus, as we serve like Jesus, as we welcome like Jesus, as we do outrageous things for Jesus, we will plunge ourselves deeper and deeper into the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that he's had for us, into the good things that we share for the sake of Christ. I want to ask you this morning, do you want to go deeper into the love of Christ? Do you want to see just how much Jesus loves you? I mean, yes, we do get it to a degree. Yes, we're here because we see the love of Jesus. But there's so much more to go. This letter will show us how we can go deeper and deeper into understanding how much Jesus loves us. Where will the love of Jesus take us this term? When I was a boy growing up, we used to sing a hymn in the church I grew up in. And many of you will know it, but it says this: oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Oh, friends, like the Apostle Paul, I pray that we would have power along with all the saints to grasp how wide and high and deep and long is the love of Christ for us. Oh, that he might take us there this year. See, you have all probably heard of the circle of life, not because of the Lion King, but you've probably heard of it anyway. But this letter introduces us to the circle of love. Because as this letter shows us the love of Jesus, this letter promises to push us to love like him. And as it pushes us to love like him, it will take us deeper into his love. And the more that we see of his love, the more it will push us to be like him. And then we will, and it goes round and round and round. Friends, here is a letter that will teach us what it looks like to have love-shaped living. It will teach us to learn what it looks like to live the love that we have received. And as we read it together, it will put God's love before us, the love of Jesus before us. It will push us, be prepared to get pushed this term. It will push us to do new things for the sake of the love of Christ. And it will plunge us deeper into the love of Christ. May God bless to us the reading of this letter over the next 7 Sunday mornings. Let's pray together and then we'll sing. Our God and our Father in heaven, how we want to thank you this morning for the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. Father, we thank you that it is like a mighty ocean, that although we have paddled in, we know that there's so much more to understand. Father, we know that we will spend all eternity plumbing the depths of your great love for us. Father, please, as a church family, we ask that for all who gather here on a Sunday morning, that this letter would put before us the love of Jesus, love that welcomes Onesimuses, love that changes lives, love that pays what we owe. And Father, as we see that love afresh, may it push us, please, to love beyond our boundaries. Father, please, would it push us to welcome people and accept people and love people that perhaps we wouldn't have thought we could. Please, would it cause us to love in ways we've never loved before. And as we do so, Father, please, would we understand more? Would it deepen our understanding of the good things that we share for the sake of Christ? And we ask this, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.